Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
Yes. Well, my goodness, 23 years. And I'll tell you, it is pretty amazing to set a course 23 years ago, and we're still manning the helm and standing our post at this course. You know, the bottom line with, and again, welcome Skytook. It's such a big deal for me to welcome a church campus, a church property that we have in Skytook, Oklahoma, soon to be in another month and a half that we'll be doing the same thing in Sepulpa, Oklahoma. And, you know, I just believe that, you know, there's a couple more that we have in that we're talking about, but I believe just in the near future, we've got 10 churches in us, and I really do, and I'm so excited about that. I know that, because what that does is that doesn't just, we're not just talking about the people groups that it's going to reach and the more seats and the more souls that it's going to provide for the ministry of this church and the ministry that you represent, but also the families that are going to launch those churches. And I just know for me, having been a part of this church launch 23 years ago, that there's no life like it for a family. I'll just tell you, my kids going through it, for Bailey Kennedy to get up in that, Bailey Land to get up in that video and say 23 years ago, she's in the first Guts Kids class, and now she serves there every Wednesday and Sunday night. It's such a big deal. And I'll tell you, for me in this church, and I just wanna talk to you just for a little bit, and this is kind of more like a family meeting. You guys found out a year or so ago that we're big on family meetings, and that's kind of what this is here today. It's just a family meeting. And I'll tell you what I love about this church, the biggest thing that I love is just the atmosphere of faith. The atmosphere of faith that God's given us, that measure of faith in our lives, but now we as a church, we operate in that attitude and that atmosphere of faith. And I want to tell you, just for you in your personal life, in your family life, that's the example that's been set for all of us, is to for us to operate in an atmosphere of faith in our life, and to walk by faith and not by sight, and realize that everything in life, everything that we do, it hinges, man, the tipping point of our lives, everything that we do, it hinges on that we're saved by grace through faith. Okay, we're saved by grace. And I know that, you know, there's a lot of discussion about grace. And, you know, 30 and 40 and 50 years ago, that discussion was all faith. And now the discussion has turned into, it's grace. But let me just tell you, those two things hinge upon each other. And the tipping point of our life, it truly hinges upon it, that we're saved, that we live our lives by grace through faith, whether it's healing in your body, whether it's provision in your livelihood, whether it's peace in your home and with your family, strength in your family, man, that it's grace. It's by grace. It's by God's power, his supernatural ability, that God's favor is truly on our lives. And it's through faith. Man, the faith that we walk in, that we trust God. We're trusting something, listen, that we've never really handled with our hands. We've never really seen with our eyes, but we trust this Jesus, who, the same as Peter says, hey, Peter says, Jesus, if it's really you, beckon me to come. And Jesus said, come. And Peter stepped out of that boat and began to walk upon that water until his eyes got off Jesus. And he looked and he saw that the wind was contrary. He saw the waves, he saw the boisterous sea, and you know what, began to sink. And he cried out to Jesus, and Jesus saved him. Jesus put him in that boat. Man, but you think about for that period of time that Peter walked in that water, just because Jesus said, come. It's that atmosphere of faith. I'll just tell you what's amazing about the footprint of this church and this community is miracles happen every single day. We're not serving a God who just serendipitously kind of eyedroppers miracles into our lives. And once in a while, it's like, oh my gosh, he's kept my hope alive. He provided that little miracle for me. No, listen, I'm telling you, this is a life of miracles that God's given us. We really do. We live a life of miracles. You know, I just think, and Man, I just appreciate our band. I appreciate our music. Don't you guys, man, just love what God's doing in this place at the beginning of our services every time we come together. But see, we look at it now, and man, I was just up here worshiping God, and I was just overwhelmed, really honestly, at the spiritual level that so many men and women walk in at this church. The faith you walk in, the grace that you count on, not trusting every little report that's negative. You know, so much is happening around the world today, and there's so many extreme belief systems. There's so many extreme religions. So many extremists. And, you know, a lot of it's violence and it's terror. But you know what? Our extremism isn't that. It's love and it's peace. It's joy. It's forgiveness. Man, we're extreme in forgiveness. That's what Jesus said. Jesus just finally said, look, here's what you build your life upon. And I believe as the head of the church, this is what Jesus said to build the church upon. Don't judge. Don't condemn. Forgive and give. And it's real simple. That if we make that the true pattern of our lives, we don't judge, we don't condemn, we forgive and we give. And he said, listen, God will give back to you. And it's a commandment. Don't judge, don't condemn, forgive and give. And then the condition upon that, man, what we receive, the promise is that, man, God will give back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I think there's people that give a lot, but they don't forgive a lot. I think there's judgmental people that are thinking, man, why is God's hand seemingly shortened, his arm shortened in my life? How is his strength diminished in my life? And it might just be the condemnation that you're doling out, where you're condemning the people that, man, you can't see into their hearts and you don't know what they're going through. We haven't walked in their shoes. See, with this is Guts Church. You guys think about 23 years ago, every pastor's event I went to, every event that there were church people around, people would say, hey, well, man, what have you been doing? I pastor a church. What church? Well, church in Tulsa. Well, what's it called? It's called Guts. People would snicker. People would laugh. They go, yeah, Guts, sure. What does that mean? It's not an acronym. It's nothing poetic. It's just what it takes to live for Jesus. It's just the work that God's done in my life. And for me to be able to stand up within that work that God's done in me, it's gonna require guts. Do you understand that that's the very first time I heard God's voice? God spoke to me and he truly called me out. He said, are you gonna have the guts to serve me? I thought, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Because let me just tell you, me serving God 36 years ago, me living a life that honored God, the odds were completely against it. But you know what? I'm just telling you what we live our lives, what you live your lives doing every single day is defying the odds. Man, you think about it. If you're thinking about the odds of you living a healthy life, or you living in a strong marriage and a happy marriage, man, it might be against the odds. Let me just tell you. Man, you're in a group of people. We defy the odds. That's all we do. See, and that's because we're Guts Church, and it's simply this. And Janet said it. Janet Kennedy, a lifelong friend and one of Sandy's best friends. Man, she said, she just loves it, that it's come as you are. Do you understand? That's a basic principle and tenet of this church. And 23 years ago, that wasn't the tenet of the church, of the church generally. Man, the church generally, it's like you had to fit a certain, man, you had to wear your Sunday best. You had to fit a certain mold. You had to be able to be like everybody. We're trying to make you. And you know what? Man, what we did is we wanted to completely go against the churchy trend and come as you are. Because we knew in our hearts people wouldn't stay the way they were. Man, we knew in our hearts that people would get better, that people would get stronger, that people would get bigger. Man, a church with no walls. A church where everyone could receive God's love. Everyone could get accepted. A church that no one would be excluded, that everyone would be included. See, and I'm just telling you, that we had to defy the odds for that to work. That just can't happen. Man, you either had to be a white church or a black church or a poor church or a south church or a north church. You couldn't be an everyman church. But you know what we decided? We decided what our prayer for this church was going to be is that we're going to celebrate diversity. We were going to love people, even people that were different. And we're going to celebrate those social differences that people had. You know, right now we're trying to, man, you look at it that the victims of churches has left in its wake. Little girls that have suffered abortion, man, the churches pointed fingers and condemned them. People that for one reason or another live an alternative lifestyle, the church wants to point fingers and judge them and condemn them, and that's not going to happen here. We're going to love people with the love of Jesus. We're going to love people. Listen, because what I realized early on in pastoring this church is that we're all his sheep. Some are just lost. And we as church people, we got to be careful not to take on a pride or an arrogance that, oh, well, I've been found, so I'm better than you. No, let me tell you. Except for his grace is what Paul said. Except for God's power in my life, I'm worse than any of them. See, I know what God saved me from. I really do. Man, I know the record that God expunged in my life. I know the past life, the past life of sin, the past life of darkness that God saved me from. Man, except for the grace of God, so am I. See, we're not a people that haven't made mistakes. But we are a people that when we do, we right that ship. When we stumble, when we fall, we get back up. See, that's what guts is. That really is. And there's people that, man, there's people I run into at the front door. They'll say, is it okay if I come in here? It's like, yeah, just be a gentleman. That's all we ask you to do. Man, just come in and make yourselves at home. Man, make sure that everyone, you understand that everyone's welcome here. Let me tell you, the heartbeat of this church, I want to say my heartbeat, but it's not. It's the heartbeat of this church is to reach the lost no matter what. To go to the highways and the hedges and compel them in. Man, to let people know that even though they're on the outside, they don't have to be. We've got to be great at inviting and great at including and great at recruiting people. Man, we've got to look at it and not think, well, they probably go to church somewhere. It would be awkward if I invited them to church. Yeah, you know what? And the people that resist it the most, do you understand the last 5 years of my life, before I came to the saving knowledge of Jesus, I stiff-armed every Christian and every Bible-believing person that was ever around me. I don't even want to hear it. It was such a crutch. I don't want to hear it. It's just weak. I don't want to hear it. But then you know what? Man, God began to work in my life. And then I came to a spot in my life where it's like, oh dear God, this Jesus stuff's real. What have I done? I'm telling you, if God did it for me and God did it for you, God does it for everybody. Peter said, it's God's will that none should perish. Man, that means everybody that we can reach. And I'm just telling you, man, my whole idea about 2016, my whole idea for the 24th year of this church is let's give this a year. Man, let's live for God for a year. Let's get in the Word. Let's study the Word. Let's find God's promises in every area of our life for a year. Let's just see what a year could bring. Man, let's tithe for a year. If it doesn't work in your life and you're committed, man, you're living for God, you're loving God, man, you're honoring your wife and you're tithing, I'll give you your money back if it doesn't work. I mean, I'm not kidding you. This is a time for us now that what we've got to do is we're coming in the back stretch of the kingdom. We've turned that last quarter pole. Man, I'm telling you, what we don't need is a bunch of nags that we've got to lay the whip to try to get them to run in that last little from that last quarter pole. Man, we got to come down this back stretch. This is history time. Do you understand that? Do you understand? We live in the greatest country on earth, and that country at its core is being attacked. And you know what the core is? Faith in God, who Jesus is. Man, that's who God's called us to be. That's what this life is about. Man, it's not about the stuff. It's not about whatever we could get. Sandy finished up
a lot of our Christmas shopping last week. And as she finished it up, she just looked at me and said, "Man, I just wish we'd just have given that money to the distribution center." You know what she was saying? Let's reach people. It's not about us getting the stuff. It's not about our kids having the stuff. It's about us having a heart, our kids having a heart after God. Jesus saved my life. I'm just telling you. And you know what? I've been doing this a long time. I'm one of those professional preachers now. But you know something? I'm just telling you, I'm standing here during the music thinking, God, I'm so honored. God, I'm so humbled. God, this is amazing that I get to be with this team. This is the team that you put me on. I'm telling you, this is the greatest church that I've ever seen. I love every part of this church, even the part that ticks me off and frustrates me. I love every part of it. We've got a tremendous staff and unbelievable leaders. Man, people that just wanna do their best for God. Man, come as you are is number one. And number two is we're gonna stand on God's promises. We're gonna stand on his promises. No matter what it is you're facing, you got a bad diagnosis? Good. Our God's better. Our God's stronger. Our God is proficient at bringing his healing provision into people's lives. Do you understand that? All he needs is an open door. All he needs is an open window. Man, you're here and you'll think, man, I've sinned. I feel like I'm just the scum of the earth. I'm a liar and a cheater and I'm a thief. And I've squandered everything in my life. I'm just telling you, good. I'm glad you're here. You probably fit right in with the people you're sitting around. But you know something? What the enemy's meant for bad, today, God turns to good. Today, you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Today, you're accepted in the beloved. Today, your sin is remitted, annulled like it never happened. God forgives you. And the Bible says to the uttermost. It's so great a salvation that God's given us. Our lives and our church have a culture of just continual and aggressive improvement. Man, that's key to all of our lives. I'm telling you, I get up every day just thinking about improving and getting better. Being who God's called us to be. But it's not just as the pastor of this church, it's as a man. That I serve God, that I fulfill his purpose. And the same for you. Man, the example that so many people are around us. We have to be continually improving. See, I think about momentum a lot. And forward momentum, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. If you're a salesman or you're a business owner, if you're an athlete, man, you get that momentum. Man, let's set it up. Man, let's take a shot. See, that's where we are as a church right now. Man, if this was football right now and I'm getting to call the plays, I'm thinking, hey, let's take a shot. Man, let's go deep. Let's break their back now. Man, let's win now. But you know, you think about that momentum, and all momentum is simply this. Three words: new, improved, and improving. See, what we came in, man, come as you are. Man, churches didn't say that to people. Man, I had people that came up and they'd pat me on the back in public and they'd say, hey, thank you for what you do with those people. Man, the first time I heard it, I thought, that's awkward for someone to say. Look at you. And then I heard it, and it became a trend. And then I just thought, wait a second, these are my people. And then I started thinking about church, and church is like recess. It's not required. You don't have to be here. None of you guys are getting a gold star in your chore chart because you came to church today. Man, you came here today because someone drug you or because you wanted to be here. And I love both of you. But you know something? It's like recess. And it just seems like the world, what Paul said is, look around, there's not many noble among us. But for me, I went into this a long time ago as Guts Church in an old, dingy, long time vacated warehouse. No heat, no air, suspect electricity and power, no occupancy permits. Man, city favor with the city. City officials and permit people would come in and say, you know, I don't know what you're trying to do here, but anything you need, please call us. A building that we probably couldn't have gotten a certificate of occupancy for, people started coming. People started getting better. And you know what? It was just the simple casting hope to people. Because what I realized is that people that were in church liked church. People that weren't didn't. It wasn't that no one had experienced it. They experienced something they didn't like. So you know what? Let's give them something different. Let's improve this. Let's give them Jesus. But see, it's not just offering an improved notion or an improved idea of church. It's that for 23 years, we've continued to improve. And people laid down their lives to improve what we offer to a lost and dying world, to give them a living Jesus. Man, it's continual improvement. And we have to keep improving. We have to keep improving individually as men and as women of God. We've got a covenant with one another that we're gonna take a stand and we're gonna live for God no matter what. And I'll tell you why. It's not just because of what's happening in the violence and the terror in the world. It's not just that reason. I'm just telling you, it's our time. It's time for us to step up. It's time for us to be who God's called us to be in the workplace, in our homes, when we're driving, and in the church. We have to keep improving. And I believe we have to keep increasing. I believe that anything that's healthy is going to be growing. And I think this healthy church just needs to grow and increase. And Luke, it says that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Man, that's what I proclaim over your life and over this church this year, an increase in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Man, that's a promise that God gives us, that as he is on the earth, so are we. I believe that's how this has to happen. This is God's church. I'm proud to be named among you. I'm proud to be a part of this church. For 23 years, we've gotten up every single day and aim for the same target. And I believe it's been 23 years of hitting that target. Well over 200,000 salvations in 23 years. New, improved, improving. And I'm just telling you, we can do better, man. I'm just telling you, we can live better. We could be better. We could do better. Because it's not by might nor by power, but by his spirit. And you look at in Luke where Jesus said, the spirit of the living God is upon me and his presence has anointed me. And then he said this, to preach the gospel to the poor, to set at liberty those who are held captive, to bind up the broken heart, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You know, I read through that, and I think about Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, and the Easter message that God sent me as a young pastor over 20 years ago. They came to the tomb, and it appeared to be empty, and then they saw someone. Listen, Mary, who is as close to Jesus as anybody on the planet, looked at this man in the shadows, perceiving him to be the gardener.
And she said, where have you taken him? He said, what? She said, where have you taken Jesus? And Jesus said, Mary. And she realized it was Jesus and fell at his feet and worshiped him. That in the shining moment of Jesus' life on this earth, he rose from the dead. He appeared to be the gardener. He came as a servant, even at that moment, the most triumphant time the world had ever seen for a human being, and Jesus appeared to be the gardener. I'll just tell you this. I may be 58 years old. Kennedy called me yesterday, and she said, Dad, are you 58 or 60 or 75 or what are you? And then she said, Dad, just make sure. Don't walk toward the light, Dad. Don't do it. That's what I got to deal with. But I'm just telling you, Guts Church, I want to be striving to be the best in the world at helping people live God's promise. Some of them are going to stiff arm us. I did for 5 years. Man, we have to be relentless. We have to pursue people. Man, we've got to make sure. Ezekiel, the 34th chapter, it broke God's heart because he said, my sheep are lost and have become a prey to the beast of the field and to the wilderness. And he said, none did search nor seek after them. He said, but I'm going to send a shepherd. His name was David. Well, guess what? That same lineage, the son of David that Jesus was in, we're in now. It's time for us to search and seek after lost sheep, people without a relationship with God, people that don't know Jesus, that we become the best in the world at helping people overcome sickness, help people overcome disease, help people overcome divorce, help people overcome abortion. It's not a political issue. These people are our brothers and sisters. These people, God has meant for them to live eternally with us in heaven. And I believe that we could stand up and be the very best in the world at helping people live the promise of God in their life. I believe that. And I'm competitive and I'm bullheaded. And I'll tell you, if we've done this and gone this far in 23 years, listen to me, the next two years of our lives is gonna be the most dynamic time in our history. The next 2 years, I'm telling you, buckle up. Strap your helmet and your pads on because we're going to take on all comers. It's time for us to see ourselves the way God does. And I'm just telling you, prophetically, God's hands on your life to be the very best in the world at helping people live God's promise. Come as you are. And we're putting a premium on God's promises in this place. We're going to live his promises because you know why? They're fail-safe. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And you know what? His promises are yes and amen, or yes and so be it, or yes and absolutely. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for having celebratory hearts for the 23rd anniversary of Guts Church. I believe it's 23 years of winning the lost, 23 years of people getting off of deathbeds, 23 years of blind eyes opening and deaf ears hearing, 23 years of people that have been discarded to follow Jesus, 23 years of people going to the highways and the hedges, people, 23 years of going to every nook and cranny on this planet and making a difference in people's lives. That's what I want to do. I believe one of these times we're going to come together and we're going to celebrate the 10 Guts churches that God has in our future. And you'll think, oh, man, you're getting ahead of yourself. I know. I do it all the time. I guess I seemingly love it. You're biting off more than you can chew, I know. And you ought to be Sandy, just eating breakfast with me. Bill, that's too big a bite. I know, but it tastes good. You know, because They say scientifically, you're not hungry for 20 minutes, or you don't dispel the hunger for 20 minutes. So you can eat slowly and just little bitty bites and eat less, and you feel like the hunger's gone after 20 minutes. But man, when it tastes this good, man, I want to devour it. I want to take big old monster bites. But you know what? This is the kingdom. This is the God that we love. This is who God's called us to be. Do you understand that? I'm just telling you, you're wondering about God's purpose in your life. Don't wonder anymore. We're going to help people live God's promise. That's what we're going to do. We're going to help people win.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.